and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Are you ready?
Yo, what up, what up? It's your boy Rabino.
And this DJ Erm in the building.
And you listening to the Up and Up podcast.
Yeah.
Wait, what are we doing?
I don't know, just listen.
Yes, 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 yes. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
What it do, what it do?
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuning to the Up and Up podcast on the Up and Up Network. I'm your host, Rabino.
And I'm DJ Erm, man.
What's up, man?
What's up, man? What's going on?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Good. Yeah. I'm blessed.
Oh.
Yeah.
We all
what
are.
What about you, man?
We all are, man.
Yeah.
Majorly blessed, man. Shout out to everybody in the room. Always got to shout out the team, right? Mm-hmm. And for those of you first-time listeners, welcome to the show. As I stated, this is the Up and Up podcast. This is the podcast where we're focused on cultivating culture, right?
Yes, sir.
Do that by providing amazing stories of individuals, groups, movements, the hustlers, the shakers.
All that.
Right? Everybody who's really just trying to take up space, chase their dreams, right? And breaking barriers. Not only for all of us here, but for the next generation, right?
Yes, sir.
Got to let it be known, right? And if this is your first time tuning in, welcome to the family, right? Well, this is family business. So I try to tell people when they come into the show, it's family business, right?
Yeah.
So welcome to the family and to the consistent family members. Salute to you guys. We love you guys. We thank you guys always. I'm feeling good, man. You know?
Yeah.
Feeling good. 2024 has been a great year so far.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yep.
We're going to make it better. Keep going.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I'm always excited because we get a chance to you know, dive into people's stories and journeys. And today's guest is someone who's definitely been paving his own path and carving his own lane across the globe for over a decade now, and really making history every step of the way, I feel like, right?
Yeah.
He's definitely a true culture cultivator, keeping everything he's doing on the up and up. Today, we're joined by the world-class, accomplished, and talented dancer, artist, visionary. He hails from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, and is taking his arts and talents all over the world, performing for renowned companies such as the English National Ballet, Miami City Ballet, the National Ballet of Canada, Boston Ballet, Cincinnati Ballet, Oklahoma City Ballet. Shout out my man from Oklahoma right
here.
Sir. Yeah. And he currently holds the position of principal dancer for our Pacific Northwest Ballet. In addition to that, to being in that role, he was actually the first black principal dancer in the entire organization and institution's history and existence, right? I told you he was making history, right?
Yeah,
I meant
real.
That, right?
Yeah, you're not lying.
You know, he's a culture shifter, someone who's, you know, dancing his way to new heights, right? I would say. We're super honored to have him in the building, super excited. So without further ado, let's get straight to it. Our guest is none other than the good brother himself, Jonathan Batista. Can we get a round of applause?
Yeah.
Give it up.
What's up, guys?
How you doing, brother?
Good, man. Thank you so much for having me. It's a great opportunity to, you know, share my story with you guys and the Up and Up family. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
It's a pleasure having you, man.
It's good to have you here, man. Yeah.
Absolutely.
How's your day going? I'm just...
Man, the day's great. You know, that was my day off. We just finished a performance of Rep 4, and it was a contemporary piece, contemporary program, two pieces, and I just had a blast. You know, I actually didn't get to perform as much as I usually do, but that's great, too, because, you know, I had some time to breathe a little bit and just organize myself and had a proper day off, and that's great for me.
That's good, man.
That's great, man. Yeah.
You came in with the good vibes, man.
Yeah, definitely. Sure.
Oh, no.
Definitely.
You know, hey, but I walked in, I was just like, yo, it's my brothers. Yeah. This is family.
Yes.
So I appreciate the energy. I appreciate y'all welcoming here and for the opportunity. For
man,
sure.
bro, I love that,
That's
man.
Great, man.
I love it. Well, let's get to it, man. So we always start every episode with the quote of the day, something to get the vibe right, get the conversation started. Brother man, Erm, he's the man of the quotes.
All right, what you got for us, man? The quote of the day is, we should be in constant evolution and adapt to the new without ever losing our essence or our integrity.
I like that.
A little deep.
That's what's up. Yeah. That's one thing that I talk about, you know, integrity, because people ask me about my routine. It's like we start at 4:30 a.m. every day, and I'm just like, I just have to protect the integrity of being Jonathan Batista, just being myself before I give all my energy to the world, because I love that. You know, I love community. I'm a community man. I'm about my people. But I need to fill my cup right before, you know, I give it to the world, you know, and I understood earlier on that what's in my cup is for me, and what runneth over is for the world. So, you know, I make sure that my cup is filled, brother.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when I get out there, I know that's all, it's going to be all good vibes and good energy. So that's what's up. Thanks
for love that. I love that. Who was that quote by the way?
Pedro Capo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You added another quote on top of that quote, too. I like that. Man. Yeah.
Hey, come on. Yeah. That's Miss YL and Van Zandt right there.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. All right.
So, Jonathan, man, before we get into the journey, man, you know, you have quite a journey. Just curious, man, like the current season you're in, how would you describe it for yourself? Like just in the now, the present day?
Man, I think I'm living my best life right now. Okay. I think I prayed for days like this, you know, where I just had consistent joy, you know, and see every challenge that I face within my profession, within my journey, I would turn it into a lesson, understanding that there will be a reward at the end of it. Mm-hmm. There's always a reward at the end of every challenge that we face, whether if it is within your family, within your job, your relationship, and so on and so on. But making sure that you enjoy the journey, man, because it's very important that you enjoy every step that you give. Because sometimes it's so easy for us to say, oh, man, I'm not getting what I want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we just look at the bigger picture.
Yeah.
And it's cool. It's cool. Let's look at the bigger picture, you know, and be motivated by that. But you have to understand that each step that you give is still a step forward. And sometimes you just need to stop and stay still and rest.
Yeah,
and give yourself some grace. So right now, I'm having the best moment of my life, and I'm grateful for that. And I have to thank the people in my life too, man, because look, your entourage will really define who you become and how your journey will be, you know. And I'm glad that I have those people in my life, and I'm glad that I have those people here in Seattle too.
Yeah,
like I said, I'm so thankful for this community, man, because Seattle embraced me as one of their own. Within like 2 years, you know, they embraced me, and I was going through the things too.
Yeah,
you know, because when I joined Pacific Northwest Ballet, yo, my journey was so challenging. You know, it was like, yo, you gotta wait, you know. And I and this is something that we talk about. You know, it's not a secret.
Yeah,
it was just like, yo, you gotta wait, and I was just like, oh, okay, here we go. It's a part of being a brother, huh?
Yep.
And and you know, and I'm very outspoken.
Yeah,
you know, because a part of being an activist too is that you have to be outspoken and understand your journey and tell that to people, because there are a lot of us that are going through the same things.
Yep.
And I see a lot of us giving up sometimes.
Gotcha.
Because there's a lot of resistance out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I communicated that too within the building. I was thankful that I had a lot of help. I had a lot of hands and people understood not only the talent, but what I wanted to do within the community. So I appreciate Seattle for that. Shout out to Seattle.
Yeah, thank man. You. I love that. I love that you're able to embrace that. You know, like saying this is the best time of my life. Because a lot of times people think like, oh, the best times of my life is going to be when I get this or when I get to this point. But embracing the now and the moment is important. It's a good message, bro.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
So I definitely want to take it back, talk about your upbringing a little bit, where you grew up, you know.
Yeah. 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 I grew up in the slums of City of God. You know, and if you've seen the movie on Netflix or YouTube, you know, and that was exactly, well, it didn't look like that, you know, anymore, of course, because that's a movie perhaps based in the 80s.
Yeah.
Not quite sure right now. But my parents grew up in that scenario, you know, so they grew up with those main characters of the movie. You know, they were friends. They grew up together and then they branched out. So growing up in City of God, of course, we had a lot of challenges with the neighborhood because, you know, there was a lot of crime and stuff. So my parents really thought, you know what? I got to keep this brother occupied, just busy. His mind has to be, you know, producing some stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and being occupied with what's important before, you know, you become occupied with what the streets have to offer.
Yeah.
And so my parents put me into, I started dancing with ballroom dancing. Then martial arts, judo, jiu-jitsu, capoeira, and the usual Brazilian sports, right, that you have soccer.
Yeah.
But then I did volleyball, basketball, and then I went into graffiti, DJing, producing.
Damn, you was busy.
I mean, seriously, I didn't have a break. I was like, what are they thinking, man? I was
what didn't you do? I'm just curious.
I think they were like, yo, I'm tired of this kid. Go do something. Yeah. But, you know, I think they wanted me to find myself, you know, identify yourself with something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't even remember when ballet actually happened. Mm. You know, I was just dancing. I was just being a happy kid. You know, because one thing that my parents did, too, was, like, protect me from the poverty that was out there. Mm-hmm. You know, as a kid, you don't understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And so I believe that my parents' idea was to protect me from perhaps the things that we didn't have. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They couldn't provide. Mm-hmm. And all they wanted to provide, and it's a conversation we have in our family today, was education. Mm-hmm. Make sure that education was number one in our family. And, of course, love. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, that we had love, we had great moments, and et cetera, et cetera. And so one day I woke up, and here I am doing ballet. You know, it was actually jazz. And it's the usual story with boys. You know, it's like you are the only boy in the hood doing ballet. Mm-hmm. So I had both, the best world and the worst world. It's just like, oh, you're a boy doing ballet. What are you doing? And here you are doing ballet, but it's also great, you know, for the community.
Yeah. That's actually what I was curious about, too, because I feel like, I don't know, I'm just curious what it was like doing that at a young age. Because, you know, when you're young, you're more susceptible to perception, I feel like, right? Because you're still finding yourself. And so sometimes people's opinions can affect the things you actually want to do and maybe not do. So how was that, though, like being able to go into ballet and still deal with maybe the people who just didn't get it or misunderstood?
Right. As I grew older, it got, like, until my teenage years, it got a little bit harder, you know?
Yeah.
But then it started getting better because people saw, you know, oh, damn, this brother is traveling and doing other activities that we would love to do, too. Mm-hmm. Because I was having a different perspective of what the world was like. Because, you know, when you grow up in the slums, what happens is that's a bubble.
Yeah.
That's all you see.
Yeah.
And that's all you think you're going to see for the rest of your life sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, but one great thing about City of God was that we had these outreach programs. It was theater, it was dance, it was music, arts. And so they would take us outside of City of God to see performances, to see things that we wouldn't have the opportunity to see otherwise, because those things are expensive in Brazil. You know, and that's for the elite.
Yeah.
You know, and so that really paved the way for me to go out there and represent it too. But one thing about me since I was a kid, I've always been a happy kid, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was. Yeah. You know, I wanted to talk. I wanted to be with people. I wanted to, you know, celebrate life as a kid.
Yeah.
And I think that I never allowed people to rob that off of me. You
That's
know
important.
I mean? I kept that with me to these days. And to understand that life is good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We just have challenges.
Yeah.
You know, here and there. And some challenges are deep. It's just like, yo, this is getting too hard. You know what I mean? But it's so important that we stay vulnerable, especially as a black man.
Yeah.
Learn to stay vulnerable, to cry, to seek help when you need to. And that's what I did when I joined Pacific Northwest Ballet. I was like, yo, I actually reconnected with my therapist.
Yeah.
And we started working on things again. And I was just like, yo, all I needed was to heal. Mm. And, you know, and I was able to do so because I'm like, yo, I'm that happy kid again.
Yeah. Get back to yourself.
Yep. Hey, come on, man.
Yeah.
You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Yeah,
that's
Continue
real.
To be yourself. And that's this quote that is really great that I carry with me is, being myself is the greatest accomplishment in a world that is constantly trying to change me.
Mm. Wow.
And I'm just like, yo, I'm staying with me.
Yeah.
That's real.
Yep.
You
that's
know
real.
What I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's a real talk, bro. Now, I'm curious, like, it's dope that you were able to, I didn't even know that they had programs that were set up to, like, give you guys kind of, like, avenues, you know? But the moment you, because you did get a scholarship to dance for the English National Ballet.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm just curious, what was that like? Because it's one thing to, like, be the man or be successful and being great and seeing some success in your own city. But then when you have to like move, and now it's becoming real, and it's like, okay, now I'm like, I'm it's just me. Yeah. And they want me for what I've done and what all the hard work I put in. Like, what was that adjustment like when you finally got, I guess, the affirmation or validation?
Absolutely. So when what happened with that scholarship is that I got scholarship to go to Miami City Ballet School first.
Oh, okay.
And that's where my teachers and directors wanted me to go to. And I got that. And I guess that it benefited them better than me, because my dream was to go to English National Ballet, because that's when I saw the first black person on stage doing Prince roles. Because growing up, they would tell me, you're not going to do Prince roles. You're going to be a village guy, you know? Mm. And I was just like, yo, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Oh, because of your hair, or because of your skin color, or because of so-and-so-and-so-and-so, you can't be the prince. So when I saw a DVD with that black guy on that stage in England, I said, that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was like,
How old were you at this time?
Oh, maybe 12 and a half.
Okay.
You know, 12 and a half, 13.
Okay.
And then at 14, I got scholarship to Miami City Ballet School.
Mm-hmm.
Summer intensive first. And my parents made, like, the ultimate sacrifice, which they had to pay for that ticket for, like, 5 years, man. Dang. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Wow. Yo, five years.
Wow.
And then I got the scholarship. Well, I went back to Rio for Miami, and my parents was like, yo, how was it? And I was like, I didn't want to tell them that it was good, but I was like, I wasn't feeling it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was it's a really great course at Miami City Ballet School. I love the school and the company. Mm-hmm. You know, they have such a great legacy. However, it just wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got the scholarship for the year and went to Brazil. English National Ballet School was auditioning in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm going to go do it. My teachers came to me and said, you know, don't do it. It's not for you. Great. You know what? I went home, took pictures myself, printed it off, you know, and took it to the audition. They accepted it. I got the full scholarship.
Damn.
It was like 6 hours audition, which my teacher found out. Oh, she was so mad. You know, she didn't even hug me when I said I got the scholarship.
Yo, that's crazy.
You know, and I remember when I was told those things that I couldn't become,
mm-hmm.
I would go home and I couldn't tell my parents, you know, because my parents were like, you know, lions and lioness. You know what I mean? So, our parents get.
You know, it's going to set it off if you tell them. Yeah.
Hey, come on now. Yeah, so I would just cry in the shower. You know, I will become one day.
Don't worry.
This is going to happen. And so I did that and got the scholarship. Now it was a moment of faith for me because we didn't have money.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, you know, and in Brazil, you could actually reserve your tickets before you pay for it, mm-hmm. you know, and I was telling everybody, like I said, I'm a community man, so I'm going to go out there and scream, look, I need funds.
I am
poor.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Come on now.
Hey, for real.
And you know what? Booked the ticket. Didn't have the money. It was a Friday. I remember I went out to perform with the school for the last time. That would be my last time.
Mm-hmm.
They called us the whole week. You need the first payment. You need the first payment. I was like, you know what? Call me after this weekend. Man, it looked like a movie. Seriously, it's my parents sitting just like we're sitting right now mm-hmm. in the living room. And then the phone rings. And we look at each other. My mom was like, it's time. I pick up. And she goes, Jonathan, I said, look, I don't have it yet. I'm going to get it. And she goes, because this is what happened before all that. I told my parents, let's pack. Mm-hmm. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
We're packing up. And we means just me, but they are packing up.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm leaving. I pick up the phone, and she goes, "I need your ID, your CPF, which is the social security thing for here,
mm-hmm.
for Brazil. And you're flying in. Once you land, your ticket is going to be paid off."
Wow.
So that was a faith thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. The experience for me in England,
mm-hmm.
man, I was there.
Yeah.
So I was being the happy kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it was hard to adapt to a new culture.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, English people, they're very calm, et cetera. And I'm loud.
It's like, man, night and day.
Hey, man, I'm loud. I'm Brazilian. Yeah. I'm loud and et cetera. And they get there. It's just like, so, you know, you got to settle a little bit.
Yeah.
And et cetera. But, you know, it worked out. Yeah. It worked out. You know, they were like family to me.
Yeah, I just love how it seems like your story has been a story of self-belief.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, man.
You know, and I think, especially at a young age, I think it's important to, like, keep that and nurture that. You know what I mean? And even in the face of rejection or doubt, right, from others, you still manage to just maintain that side of you. Yeah. So I think that is a strong message for the youth, the next generation coming up. You know, especially now with social media, there's just so much more noise for them, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think with the rejection thing, you know, for me it was almost like I had no option but to work on myself, you know, or work on my dreams.
Yeah.
Because it also took a long time for me to understand and acknowledge my talent. Mm-hmm. So I was always, like, downplaying it. I was just like, you know, because people understood it.
Yeah.
So I was, like, pushed to the corner. Mm-hmm. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, literally my whole journey as soon as I joined ballet.
Yeah.
Because I was the happy kid.
Yep.
But I also worked hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved what I did. So for me, there was no, like, I didn't see the world of ballet as you are my competition. That's my competition. We can learn from each other. There's space for everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How many companies are out there?
Yeah,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe even my lane is not your lane. Yeah. I mean, you can come with me if you want to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we can push each other,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's what I saw growing up.
Yeah.
Right? With, like, my family, my friends, and so on and so on. And also learning from the outreach programs. They're there to push you.
Exactly, yeah.
They're there to make you understand that, you will have a future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you will become whatever you want to become.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, there was, you know, I was left with no option because sometimes I felt alone,
mm-hmm.
you know, because my friends, they would just disappear.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, too, like, what were some of the things you learned when you first, like, went to England? Like, you know, just early in your career.
Yeah. First, English.
Yeah. Well, that's the place to learn. Yeah. Right.
Yo, for real.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, what I learned from England was literally about community because it was so multicultural when I got there. Mm-hmm. You know, you had, like, Africans, Brazilians, Latinos. It was a pool of just, like, massive culture. You know, mm-hmm. everybody was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then also going to the Royal Ballet and seeing the first black man
mm-hmm.
as a principal dancer.
Yeah.
And that guy was the one guy that people were like, yo, that's the man
mm-hmm.
right there.
Yeah.
Little did I know that that moment would influence my career
mm-hmm.
until the moment that I turned into a principal dancer myself.
Wow.
But I had to see that black man in tights, mm-hmm. right, in ballet tights, doing a prince role just so I could get rid of that thought that I couldn't become.
That representation.
Hey, come
that
on
representation
now.
Is important.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
I be telling people sometimes it's just the image alone.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It, sometimes they don't even got to be the best. You just got to see that is being done and it exists.
Yeah.
That's important, bro.
You know, in order for you to understand that your dream is possible, you have to see manifested somewhere or in somebody.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And it also, when I started traveling through the United States of America and Canada as well as a dancer and joining these companies, because I don't have a traditional career, mm-hmm. right, where you join one ballet company and you're there for 20 years and they celebrate you for 20 years.
So is that normally how, like, it's traditionally done?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. And you stay within that company. They celebrate you for 20 years mm-hmm. and you say goodbye and that's it. But I knew that it wouldn't work for me because in most spaces that I traveled and I joined in the United States, sometimes I was the only black guy.
Yeah.
So I had to become the voice that I wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I had to become the representation that I wanted to see.
Mm.
You know, and manifest things in such a way and also educate people. Just like, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's possible.
Yep.
Of course I can. And it would take them like a while to understand
mm-hmm.
that I could do it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so it was really important for me to be in such a role, such a position. This is the first time that I'm just like, you know what? It's not just me.
Yeah.
You look at Pacific Northwest Ballet and you see, you know, Ashton Edwards, Silas McHughes, Destiny Wingpy, and more black dancers within the company. So it becomes better because you're just like, you know what? This is safer.
Yeah.
You know, it's a safer environment that you create when you see more of you in there. Because for some ballet companies, it's just like, oh, we have one black person. That's it. We, our diversity is here. Boom. And it's just like, wait, hold on. It's when it comes to black talent, I'm not alone.
Yeah. I love that. I love that you're touching on that because I think, again, these are like universal topics, universal issues and obstacles.
Absolutely.
They exist in every industry.
Yeah.
You know, and I think sometimes people don't understand that. And I think that's where the relatability, I may not be familiar with ballet, but anybody who's going through that can relate to what you just talked about.
Absolutely.
Regardless of what job or what industry they operate in. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like you guys could become each other's support system as well. You know, I think that's like an important factor too. You know, like if you walk in a room, you see another black person or somebody who looks like you, you guys automatically connect, you know?
Yeah,
you
just, man. You know? For real. I mean, they helped me heal. You know, I forgot to mention Larry Lancaster, too. Mm-hmm. For example, Larry is a brother that he's always, like, you know, he got the swag and the style, you know, and he does a lot with his hair and braids and et cetera. He built the confidence in me. That brother is 21 years old, you know, but I was able to build the confidence of, like, having my own hair, you know, and showcasing my own hair and braiding my own hair, dancing with my cornrows because I saw somebody within the company. And I remember the first day that I performed, the first time that I performed, I think it was in Midsummer Night's Dream. I was Oberon in Shakespeare, Midsummer Night's Dream. And I was just like, well, I'm going on stage with this. And then they put the crown, you know, in my hair. And I was like, wow, I can't believe that I'm healing something that I was told. You know, my teacher told me one day, she said, what are you going to do, capoeira or something? Take that off right now. And that's the story that we see a lot in the news, you know, with kids. You can't run, you can't do this because of your hair. You know, your hair's braided, your hair's out, and et cetera, et cetera. But when you see the representation within the space that you live in, it becomes safer for you to do so.
It's responsibility, too.
Hey.
I think a lot of times we will find ourselves in positions that we worked hard for, and we're being rewarded for it. And we're, like you said, like, this is your journey. But you come to realize sometimes your journey's for others, too. It's not just for yourself.
Absolutely.
And I think you got to embrace that. And I think you obviously have. But I think some people can learn from this. Like, sometimes you might be in a position where you're actually supposed to embrace the responsibility that comes with that too. It's not just doing the thing and being good at it and getting what you can from it. You got to also embrace the responsibility of the representation. So you got to carry yourself a certain way.
That's right.
Knowing why every move you make is going to be important for those watching. So
that's why it's called a gift.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's one thing too for black kids out there, you know, pursuing their dreams. Let me tell you something. The one thing about us black folks is that, yes, we need to acknowledge our gifts. We need to acknowledge our talents. We need to acknowledge who we are and then understand who you want to become and work on that. You know what I mean? Because, yes, it is. I don't like the victim mentality, but we do have a lot that goes against us at times. Or just the resistance level
100%.
Is so great that, you know, it can break you or make you doubt yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so nowadays I'm 32. I just turned 32 in January. And I promised myself, I'm not walking into a room that will make me doubt myself. Hey, come on now.
Nah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Are we building? Fantastic. What are we building? Who are we building? Is it the community? The people we're around? Great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to do it because if you're, are you going to make me uncomfortable? For how long?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what's the level of discomfort? Is that for good, though?
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Are you stressing the diamond?
That's real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, I'm out.
Yep.
if that's the only stress that I allow, it's just like, okay, let's stress the diamond because the diamond's going to shine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. We understand pressure.
There you go.
Because that can be tough love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Especially for the kids out there. I love the message that Beyonce put out, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, write down your dreams, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Be about it. Don't talk about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, find your supporting system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go out there and build yourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the main thing that I talk about in this profession, being a ballet dancer. Black dancers especially, you need to you must become your own agent.
Mm.
You can't just depend on the system to give you something.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Is it getting better? Yeah. I see the changes.
Yeah.
I see the influences, but I also see the resistance. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you must become your own agent. You know, what is it that you would like to do? You know, you like I said, you got to fill your cup. Fill your cup. Keep filling your cup. You know, because, yeah, you just can't depend on the system.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually glad you brought that up because I think this is a dope topic to talk about, an important topic too. Because I feel like not just ballet, but even dance as a career path, right? So many young people are passionate about dance, like you once were. Like for you, when did you start to kind of understand the industry and like the profession side of it to where you're like, okay, this is actually my job, this is my career? Like, do you recall like a moment when that clicked for you?
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, it's funny because it's not like, you know, oh my God, I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And it was great. And mm-hmm. boom, I don't even remember when I fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a lot of love for what I do and the passion.
Yeah.
But it was literally like the pressure on the diamond.
Yeah.
Because I was just like being challenged all the time.
Mm.
You know, and I'm happy that I had the right people beside me to guide me through all of this. Mm-hmm. You know, whether they were mentors, mm-hmm. friends, and etc. I tell you, my friend told me when I was in Oklahoma, she said, you gotta go to a bigger place. Shout out to Dayeon Jung. She's from Korea. She said, you gotta go to a bigger place. It's time. You know, you came here, we love you, cool, but you gotta go. You know what I mean? So that's it, really important to have those people. But it was the challenge that made me. I was actually talking to my director, Peter Bull, and I told him, you know what really made my career this far? How I get motivated? By the many no's that I've had.
Mm.
And it's constant. It's just like, no, 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 no. So I had to understand how to build my yes. That was my main motivation. Mm. I don't even know how I fell in love with ballet. I tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I'm sorry to the Open Up family and everybody watching. I know I don't have the fall in love story. I have.
No, this is just your version of it.
Yeah, this is your version.
It was the challenge. You will not become. And I was just like, oh, here we go again. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Gotta build.
Yeah.
You know? And again, this is the message for all the dancers out there, too. Mm-hmm. You have to build. Don't just sit with your no and make that into a never.
Mm.
The longer you sit, the more letters you add to it.
Mm.
No, come on out. You gotta know. Hey, that's their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their option. And also you have to understand. Now I understand who you are to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for me.
Yeah.
So now I gotta go and find my people.
Yeah.
And that's what I did, brother. I'm like, I'm full on community.
Mm.
Join the team. Come on. That's beautiful.
Yo, I love that. I love that message.
That's a bar, man. That's dope. Hey, don't turn your no into a never.
Come on.
Yeah.
Right? Because the longer you sit, the more O's you add. And mm-hmm. it's that thing echoing in your head like, no.
For real.
No, come on now.
Yeah.
That's real. That's real talk, though. I think it is important, too. I think I like what you talked about in terms of when you do get a no, it actually narrows your scope. Because now you know who not to work with or what's not for you, right? Sometimes, a lot of times, we're so focused on what we want, what's for us, that we're not also paying attention to what's not for us. You got to accept what's not for you. So if you do get a no, embrace that and say, okay, cool, well, maybe I don't have to go in that direction.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm supposed to get that no so I can go in this direction because the yes is over here. You see what I'm saying? So it's all, like, I think it's really perspective-based is what I'm getting from it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, that's that was my move from company to company. You know, I got to a ballet company. They were like, they gave me the opportunities to do soloist roles. And then they said, then they wouldn't give me the contemporary. And nowadays in the world of ballet, you have to be able to do all the styles, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And they said no to the pas de deux, meaning the duet. You know, when you dance with the lady, you know, you're partnering her, tossing her, you know, into the air and doing stuff. And I went to another ballet company. They gave me the contemporary part. They still didn't give me a lady to dance with. I moved again. Now I have a lady to dance with. Mm-hmm. And they gave me a principal contract when I was 23. Mm. And they said to me, you're not a principal. You're cut. Man, my world was like, it fell right under my feet. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
All right now. And that year, that same year, I got 5 contracts. 3 principals, 2 first soloists. I was just like, well, I guess it was just his perception.
Mm. Yeah.
That was, I was like, that really goes to show you that here you might have one value for somebody, mm-hmm. you know, and they might treat you like, perhaps, you know, you're not worthy of what you understand you are, mm-hmm. right? And you go elsewhere, and it's going to be a total different story.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then that's when I went to Oklahoma City, and I built myself for 4 years, you know? Mm. And that was, like, the greatest experience ever. People are like, man, what are you doing? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Come back, go to Atlanta, go to New York. I said, no, it's not my time. God is working.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not my time. No, you belong in big companies. It's not my time. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's just not my time. I'm going to sit with this one for a while. And then, you know, God puts something within you, you know, in you. That it's just like a seed. Mm-hmm. And once it starts cracking, and you know, and it starts bearing fruit. Is mm-hmm. that how you say it?
Sprouting. Yep.
Thank you.
Yep,
yeah. And then he goes, boom, it's time. Mm-hmm. And that's it. I was uncomfortable. It was time. And then I sent emails out, and then surprise. And let me tell you something. I just found out about this because I was talking with some young people that were calling me to say, I'm going to stop dancing. I was just like, why? Because I got a no. You said a no? Yeah, how many no's? One. I said, yo, do you know Ocean Boat? That brother runs all year long. And you know how long is his run? Maybe 10 seconds.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He puts into work for like years to run a 10-second track and become the best in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what are you talking to me about?
Yeah.
So I went to my emails and I saw an email from PNB, Pacific Northwest Ballet, 10 years ago, saying no.
Wow.
2017, another email from Pacific Northwest Ballet saying nope. Mm. 2021, Pacific Northwest Ballet. Hey, Jonathan, what do you think about this? Mm. And let me tell you, Pacific Northwest Ballet was my lowest offer. Mm. And because it was my lowest offer, I was just like, there's something there. Mm. Oh, there's something there. You know? Because I wasn't thinking about being the first of anything.
Yeah.
My goal is to just become better than I ever was yesterday.
Better than you once were. Yeah.
Hey, come on out. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And that was it. I joined the company, you know? And like I said, I had a rough start. And we talked. Mm-hmm. I was heard, you know? Mm-hmm. I was heard. And that had a major impact in my career and my decision to continue to stay with the Pacific Northwest Ballet.
Yeah.
It's because I was heard, you know, because the brother will talk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's important, though. It's important, to, like you said, be your own agent. I think a lot of these things are just, it just translates to any industry, anything you do.
Absolutely.
You got to advocate for yourself, but you got to know what you're worth and not in not like in an arrogant way, but just understanding like
absolutely
the value you add.
Yes.
Because the value you add here can also be added elsewhere.
Absolutely.
And sometimes they try to make you feel like the value is only good here.
Yeah.
And so that's what kind of keeps people so hung up on the no here. And it's like, okay, where else can my value be placed?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I love that you're sharing that you've been able to maintain your value, have self-belief, and take it wherever you go. Wherever you go, you're going to bring it.
Absolutely.
I love that.
For
bro.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Also wanted to ask, just to switch gears a little bit here, what's the actual role of a principal dancer? Mm.
To perform all the main roles.
Okay.
You know, the principal roles. So yeah. If we're doing Swan Lake, that's Prince Siegfried, mm-hmm. which he dances with the White Swan and the Black Swan.
Okay.
Right, the lady.
Yeah.
Usually a female role. You know, if you're doing Sleeping Beauty, which we're going to have a world premiere next year.
Okay.
In 2025, I'll be playing the role of Prince Desiree. So you're always carrying this story.
Yeah. Right?
You're the storyteller. Okay. As one of the main storyteller of a ballet.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice.
That's a good question, bro.
Yeah.
Because I definitely wanted to, for those who haven't experienced the ballet, I told you, I went to your show last week.
That's right.
On Friday. You guys had two performances, one with, is it Bacchus?
Yeah, Bacchus.
Bacchus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I butchered that. Bacchus and then 1,000 Pieces.
That's right.
So that was my first time ever at the ballet.
Cool, man.
Experiencing
yeah,
it. It gave me a whole new found respect for the craft, right? A lot of times we obviously admire someone's craft and we know the talent, we see the talent, but when you get to see it up close, like I was amazed, man. Like from the stage design, the musical composition, and then just like seeing you guys perform, just physically perform. You know, I think it just gave me a dope perspective on like what you guys actually do.
Yeah.
But I am curious if you can just share, like, what do you think is like the biggest misconception that people have of ballet dancers?
Well, yeah, I appreciate that, brother, that you mentioned, you know, about, you know, what I understand is like, there's a lot of hard work that goes behind the scene.
Right.
You know what
100%.
I mean? That you don't see.
Yeah.
For example, you know, going into my routine, I wake up at 4:30 a.m. I go to the gym. I make sure that my legs are in place. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I work out. And I make sure that I'm in shape.
Yeah.
And those dancers at Pacific Northwest Ballet, I mean, I got to praise them, bro. For real, man. Because they work hard, like with discipline and hard. And they understand their craft too with passion, you know. And the dancers are there, they do help each other. You know, that's one thing that I like about the culture there. That it can become very resourceful amongst us.
Yeah.
Which is really great.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of hard work. Because sometimes, you know, you're a dancer, what do? You just, you know, move your body right to left. You know, step, you know, forward and backwards and you turn. Hey, hell to the no, brother. You know, you got to go to the gym, you know, and those overhead lifts that we have to perform and do it with control, ease, and elegance.
Yeah.
Man, you know what I mean? Talk about it, man.
Exactly.
And when it comes to that, that's the hardest part. I mean, there were two dancers who were dancing in 1,000 Pieces, which is Dylan Wald and Elizabeth Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a... two beautiful pas de deux, but there's one that he has her above his head, you know, two hands, and he has to kneel. Brother, congratulations to that brother. And Elizabeth Murphy, because that is one hard step.
Yeah.
So that goes to show that it takes a lot to have this, you know, show. And how you display movement, right, with ease and elegance and looking like you're comfortable. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not comfortable at all. It's hard work.
And that's literally what I was saying. I was like, this is so, it's just graceful, like you said.
Yeah.
Right? But what goes into that is similar to the Usain Bolt analogy,
absolutely.
Right? Like you're working out so hard to make something look so easy.
Absolutely. We have 6 hours of rehearsal every day, not to mention the class, which is a warm up. So class is at 9:15 and we go from 9:15 to 10:45. At 11 a.m. we start rehearsal and we go from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. You know, every hour we get 5 minutes of a break.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have from 2 to 3, we have lunch, 3 to 6 rehearsals again. You know, and sometimes people are going from socks. Ballerinas are going from socks to point shoes, which is really hard. Sometimes you're doing like all those kneeling type of exercises and dance, and then you have to stand tall, you know, and extend your muscles and etc. That takes a lot of effort. Yeah, and sometimes your muscles are not able to recover just in time. You have to deal with it. And that's the mind game. That's when you build a mindset of resilience, mindset of patience with discipline and consistency. That's one thing that dance really teaches you well, is discipline and consistency. You know, once you apply those to your life, you already know the type of results that generates, right? Which is great, which is greatness and excellence. So, you know, shout out to my friends at Pacific Northwest Ballet. That's a lot of praise.
Yeah, actually, I'm kind of glad you touched on that, because I know you explained the physical aspect of it, but like mentally, how do you like prepare for a show, or what is like your thought going into a show?
Man, I don't do much about it because my routine is already, you know, in place for me to start my day. So if I'm overwhelmed, I already know what to do. I just stay in my own corner. I need to be a little bit quiet, you know, and pay attention to what I need to do only, you know, and I don't share much of my energy. I just keep it tight, you know, but usually, and that's rare, you know, but usually, you know, I'm a giver. So, hey, I'm here to give. And once the performance is over, most of the time, I still have energy. You know, I go home. And I mean, I go to receptions a lot, too. You know, I love I love being in the audience and just saying hi to people, you know, understanding their feedback, but also saying hi to people, you know, because it's relatable. We're artists. We're on stage, sometimes TV, podcasts, and the radio, you know, whatever it is. But we're still humans, and I love the connection that we build with the audience. You know, that's one of the most important things for me as an artist. So in terms of mindset, I build that way before I have a performance. You know, it's my everyday thing. It's a habit for me.
You stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. That's what I was thinking too.
For real.
I love that, man. I love that. I do kind of want to go back to the topic of breaking barriers and just kind of being Black in a space that's obviously traditionally white, right? So you were quoted saying, being a Black ballet dancer means embodying resilience, defying stereotypes, and honoring the legacy of trailblazers and many other Black dancers who laid the foundation for my generation, right?
That's right.
Like, how do you view what you're doing now, and like, do you have a message for, like, the young Black dancers today? Because I feel like, do you feel like ballet is still one of those art forms that isn't necessarily, like, being, I guess, steering, you know, Black and brown youth into enough?
Yeah, I think we're starting to see more of Black and brown youth coming into ballet. You know, I think there are still a certain level of resistance, you know, when it comes to the talent, because it's not only welcoming the talent. It's allowing the talent to have the accessibility to opportunities. And what would that mean? You know, when you join a company, do I have the, do you have the accessibility to the media outlet? Do you have the accessibility to when they are promoting a ballet? Are they taking pictures of Black and brown people? When you look at that social media, what does it look like when they are promoting a ballet? That you see, you know, the many members, the many Black and brown members of that company. Do you see them? How often do you see them? You know what I mean? Does that have to do anything with casting opportunities? Are they having the proper casting? Because how do you develop a talent? With experience. Right? And so if you're not being given the opportunity to have the experience, how do you develop that talent? You know, and that's why sometimes Black talent, you have to have these outlets. You have to work on your mindset day in and out, because that's what can really stop the progress to Black and brown talent in the world of ballet. Because the you know, we talked about inclusion, diversity, equity, and accessibility. Yes, we did. We started that, you know, and reinforced after the effect of George Floyd, when he happened, unfortunately. And we saw a lot of things happening in the world of ballet. A lot of opportunities were out there for us to become. You know, we didn't need that event in order for us to move forward. It did happen. But Are we still having the accessibility? That's really important that we see those talents, those individuals being rewarded for their talent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the main thing that I talk about, you know, and that I fight for.
Yeah.
You know, do we have to pick and choose when a black talent has to dance a ballet? I have those experiences still. Mm. You know, that's why I talk on my Instagram about doing sad, doing discouraged, mm-hmm. doing in pain. Mm-hmm. Do it. Keep going.
Yeah.
You got to keep doing it.
Yeah.
So in terms of, you know, the profession, cultivating black talent, yeah. I need to see more of it.
Yeah. I think it's exposure too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, I think it's exposure. Like you got to see more of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's why it's important to be loud.
Yeah.
In a good way. Right.
Yeah.
And put yourself out there.
Yeah.
And absolutely. All of them, everybody who's operating in that space and represents, like, yeah, you got to.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? It's the only way it's going to change.
Yeah, but I think that we are seeing a major change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, for me, when they tell me, you know, not Pacific Northwest Valley specifically, but when people tell me change takes time, I said, look, time is now. Mm-hmm. Change takes action. You know what I mean? And yes, I sir. Need to see it, to believe that the work is working. I need to see that. You know what I mean? And I see things happening. I see the change, you know, but I need to see it consistently.
Yeah.
I'm a consistent brother.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I expect you to be consistent towards me too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, imagine if I come to show up to work, but I'm not working. Mm-hmm. I'm not generating results. What are you going to think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I need that energy too.
Hey, change takes action. I like that.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Definitely.
We need to make that a t-shirt,
bro. Hey.
Seriously.
Nah, seriously, man. Because change takes time. Yeah, it does. Yeah. But it takes action too.
Yeah.
Right? Time absolutely. Time don't stop for nothing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Action got to get started, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely, right. Man.
I love that, man.
Yeah.
I love that. I
appreciate that.
Also, I kind of want to talk about the work you're actually doing back home, too, to make an impact on ballet and stuff. So,
yeah, man.
Definitely would like you to touch on that.
Absolutely. You know, I went back to City of God back in, I think, to 2022 or 2023. I don't remember now. And it was a little bit after COVID. And, you know, I saw how City of God was working. Some of the projects, they didn't have the proper funds to operate. So I found a ballet school that was actually, you know, bringing in a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they were... You know, they didn't have the space. Then they got a new space. The space was falling apart. And I was just like, yo, you know what? I got to come see this, you know? Because there's one thing about you just sending funds. But there's one thing when you experience it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The impact is way bigger because you understand the challenges that they're facing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I went there, taught a workshop for 2 days, total of 8 hours. And it was great because I was just like, wow, you really never know how much you can influence once you put in the put yourself in the position to influence and to really like give your gift to people.
Yeah.
And I saw that. I was just like, wow, I could see in their eyes, and their eyes were shining with hope, you know, that something was going to happen. So I came back to the U.S. I talked to the teachers and I was just like, what should we do? And they were like, you know what? Let's build a second floor. And I said, great, let's do it. Put a fundraiser here in the U.S., first time doing it by myself. As friends, started being as loud as I could on social media. I was like, yo, I need funds.
Back to it.
Just like I did, you know what I mean, when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I need funds. And I didn't even know that people were watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was scared to put that out there.
Yeah.
You know, and man, in 22 days, we had those funds.
Mm.
Wow.
And it went over 30% because I was rehearsing, so I couldn't check my phone. And I was like, as soon as it was over, I was like, yo, let me stop this.
Yeah.
We sent the funds over to Brazil. They built the school. And you had to see, man, it was the most beautiful thing. Man. I saw like a line of families, like with kids, you know, they just wanted to register and take class.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Take ballet class.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And there was this young boy, I think his name is Wellington, he was just like, yo, man, I want to be like you when I grow up. And he's the one who got scholarship to the Bolshoi Ballet School.
Wow.
One of the biggest schools out there, one of the biggest institutions. And seeing that, and now we are serving 200 plus kids within the community. And now we are getting more support than ever.
Yeah.
From other artists too. That's why it's important that we become loud when it comes to supporting other people.
Yeah.
Because you could touch and inform other people right next to you.
Yep.
Your brothers and sisters, your friends, your teachers, people in your community who have the opportunity to fund, to support, to carry on a legacy with you, but they don't know nothing about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So be loud.
I love that.
You know what I mean?
Change takes action.
Come on, man.
No, but you got to speak about it too.
Like, yeah.
You got to go in depth and articulate. I'm really big on that. Like, you got to articulate the depths of what you're trying to do.
Yeah, man.
Because if you just leave it up for interpretation, people might not fully understand. And
absolutely.
So I think when I hear be loud, it's not literally be loud. It's like be loud, but be in depth.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Make sure they really hear you and they understand you. You know what I mean?
Like, let it be known.
Yeah, let it be known.
Come on now.
Let it be known. Let it be understood.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's how those things happen. 22 days, you're able to get the funds and make impact.
Absolutely.
Right?
Man.
And so I just love that, man. I think your story is definitely one of just stepping into your greatness. We talk about that here. Like, just stepping into your greatness. You know what I mean? We all have it. We all have greatness in us, but you got to step. You got to step into it.
Absolutely.
Into the uncertainty. You know what I mean?
Yo, come on now. Yeah, absolutely. You know, tapping into your greatness and excellence and, you know, acknowledging it too, man.
Yeah.
You know, not playing it down. Acknowledge it and take people with you.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm. Come on. Definitely.
Face people. Yeah.
Dropping gems, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a jewelry store in here. Right? Seriously, man.
Yeah. So, I guess, like, where do you see ballet, like, the evolution of ballet in the near future?
Man, wow. I think it's just like my, you know, just to extend the legacy of black dancers.
Yeah.
You know, there were many before me. You know, you see Misty Copeland doing her thing, you know, extending the legacy. The first black man to ever join Pacific Northwest Ballet, Kebby Mitchell, was so influential to this community when it comes to, you know, being a black artist within the Pacific Northwest Ballet community, you know, and he taught in universities in Washington. He's the co-founder of Tupac, Tacoma Urban Performing Arts Center, which now I'm there supporting them too.
Okay.
You know, supporting them in any way I can.
Yeah.
Because that man opened the doors for me to be here today.
Mm-hmm.
And so the legacy doesn't stop here. I don't want to be the first black principal dancer of Pacific Northwest Ballet for the next 10 years.
Yep.
Not even five.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
There will be another man, or woman, or non-binary. We have non-binary in the company. That they are talented as hell.
Yeah.
I saw it, man. I was like, you know what? Great.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, I've heard something like, I want to be like you when I grow up. I said, be better.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Come for my job because I need to retire.
Come get it.
Come get it.
Yeah.
You know, I need to retire and just watch and be like, great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
You know, and for more of us, that's the ultimate dream. It's just like, we don't need to have these conversations. I don't need to. And this is one of the things that I talk to black leaders, black artists who are ascending to the position of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, they're older than me, a generation older.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to pass down on our traumas. I went through this, so you have to go through it too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
That's best on the blessing. I won, you win. You don't need to go through the challenges that I've been through. Let's be based on talent.
Mm-hmm.
You're talented. You work hard, your skills. Will Smith says, you might be talented, but if you don't work hard, your skills, your talent will fail you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So work on your talent.
Yep.
Work on your skills.
Mm-hmm.
Keep building. It's at the end of the day, I want it to be about that. Because you know what black excellence is like.
Oh, yeah.
The effects of black excellence.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Hey, come on now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's real talk.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's real talk.
And we have it in our communities.
Yeah.
You know, across the board.
Yep.
So now we want that legacy to be extended in ballet, classical ballet.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a lot of like you know, if you're black, you have to be a modern dancer and et cetera. No, there are black modern dancers. Mm-hmm. There are black modern dancers that can dance ballet, classical ballet too.
Yeah.
We can cross over. That's great. Mm-hmm. It is about the excellence and the talent. So the goal right now is to extend that legacy. And I think it will be the goal forever.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Sure. Keep making it better.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
For the next generation.
Absolutely.
And it has been. It has gotten better. Yes. It is getting absolutely better. So absolutely. I think the way I look at it is like all we can do is make our contribution.
Yes.
While we still can, while we have time to do so. And as long as you're making a contribution, you're doing your job. You're doing your part.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Sure.
So, Jonathan, before we wrap up, where can people find you, support you, follow you on social media, internet, any other channels that you want to let the people know about?
Sure thing. I'm at Jonathan Batista Official on Instagram. That's my main page that I go to, and I post all the news and everything else.
Okay.
And I think you have all the details on it too.
Okay.
I have a link tree, and I have all the, you know, the website and the Linktree. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other social media page, LinkedIn.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. All the Brazilian got all the links.
They're Brazilian the links coming out.
All the links, man. Yeah. Or you could just Google him too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, before we get you out of here, brother, we always ask every guest this question. So if you can, what's one word to describe what keeps you on the up and up and why?
Whoa. What keeps me on the up and up? Legacy.
Nice.
That's all, man. You know, I'm here for the legacy. I'm walking on the footsteps of Cabby Mitchell and so many other people who built a platform for me.
Mm.
Now I'm extending it, you know what I mean? Mm. And passing on the torch, you know what I mean? Mm. They're already taking it, though, you know, which is great.
Yeah.
Just like, come take it. Or here it is. You know what I mean? And legacy is the word for me, you know what I mean? And community. I'm sorry, I have two words.
Oh, come on.
And community.
Oh, good.
That's the backup right there. I love that, man. No, that's thank you, man. Jonathan, we just want to thank you, man, for being here, obviously. Spending time with us, sharing your story. Amazing story.
Thank you, brother. Amazing. Appreciate y'all for the opportunity.
I'm charged up.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
I'm charged up. But no, we wish you much success moving forward with everything you got going on. You got support with us here at the Up and Up always as well.
Yeah, likewise, always, man. And if y'all want to come to the show, I mean, y'all got to come to the show.
Oh, no, we coming.
Oh, yeah.
You know I mean? I might
be a regular.
I'm coming to the next show.
I might have to get me season tickets.
I'm coming to the next show for sure.
Absolutely.
I might have to get me season tickets. I don't know.
Hey,
man.
Pacific Northwest Spotlight, do you hear that? I'm bringing family to the ballet, man. Ballet is about to be all black.
Let's get it. For real. But no, Jonathan, we thank you, man. We wish you much success, like I said. And with that being said, I think it's safe to say Jonathan Batista is officially a member of the Up and Up.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
My brother, thank you, bro. Thank you.
Yo, what up? It's Rubino.
And this is DJ Earn.
We hope you enjoyed that episode and that now you have a better understanding of what it means to live life on the Up and Up.
To continue supporting the podcast and the entire Up and Up movement, be sure to rate, review, like, and subscribe.
As well as follow us at _ the Up and Up on all social media platforms to stay connected with everything the Up and Up has coming your way.
Thanks for listening, and until the next one,
keep it on the Up and Up.